All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I hate to break the fishing news after Ramchuk, but I'd like to speak about the ice hockey.
Congratulations, you're one of the 13 listeners of the Real Life Podcast.
We just traded a migraine in for like an orgasm.
Might want to mark that down.
All of my projects are on schedule until they're not.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts.
About as funny as we're going to get today.
Welcome back to episode 302 of the Real Life Podcast. No Jay today. It's just myself, Liam, Wanye, Chalmers, and Bagged Milk. And we've got plenty to talk about in the Oilers world for sure.
Busy day with
free agency.
Always
been there for me. Sorry. You've always been there for me, Liam.
Liam's always been here.
Always.
Tyler, too, is way better.
Way better.
Most consistent person on this podcast here every Monday and Thursday.
That's right.
You're steady. You're my rock, Liam. You're my rock.
You've been there since the beginning, and that's why we respect you. Just like we respect the HGA Group. The HGA Group is the next generation of business services. They were built to serve you better so that when your business brings you challenges, HGA Group has these solutions. And Wanye, I believe we are going to be talking to some folks from HGA Group here shortly. Not today, but soon, yes?
Very soon, yeah. We're going to just chat about, you know, we sometimes talk about business stuff and we go to have meetings with HGA and talk about business stuff, and they are sponsors on our podcast. We thought, what if we took some of these conversations and put them on our podcast? People might be interested to hear some of the stuff we talk about. So we'll
I might ask them about a meme that's going around right now on Instagram of this kid that had a lemonade stand, right? And she made about $200 in the span of an hour because as people were buying lemonade, handing her $5 and $10 bills, she was just not giving change. She just said, thank you. Enjoy your lemonade. So I might ask the HGA Group about that. It's power move.
Yeah. Well, you should ask them about that. You say, is that the most profitable restaurant ever invented? Yes or no?
Arguably so. You're paying $10 for a glass of lemonade. Come on. Margins.
The excellent. Best thing about lemonade, I like stopping for lemonade stands on driving. I like hassling the children. So I'm like, here's how you make money. Make your parents buy you lemonade. Never pay them back, sell the lemonade, keep the money. It's genius. You'll never make a better business.
I did a Kool-Aid stand once upon a time at the townwide garage sale when I was younger.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you clean up or what?
Absolutely did. Cleaned up, went and bought candy, as you do. Maybe a skateboard magazine, something, whatever I was interested in at the time. Absolutely. Good living.
When I lived in
my kids took a lemonade stand to a whole new level when they went and got all the freezies and stuff out of our freezer, and they took like muffins and juice boxes and small pops that we had purchased, put them all out. It was like a regular old convenience store out front of our house.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is more like a bodega.
Yeah, exactly.
They're selling loose smokes, eh, for $2.
They went and bought a pack of darts and selling a cigarette for $1.
You know there are kids out there. selling cigarettes, like single cigarettes, just cleaning up right now. Oh, you know, stealing a carton from mom and dad.
I remember the first time I saw single cigarettes. I went down to I think it was in California. I'd never seen it at a convenience store. And there's just like these huge plastic drums up above the convenience store counter. And I'm like, what are those? And they're like, cigarettes? I'm like, what? Like single serve cigarettes?
Jeez. Yeah, the first time I ever saw them was in Asia. And I was just like, wait a minute, you're just selling one cigarette for like 10 cents or whatever it was? Unbelievable. Chalmers, is that the way
you see Liam? We'll know what to talk about. We didn't have that on our list of shit, did we, buddy?
No, that wasn't on the agenda today.
Liam said before the show started, what are you guys going to talk about? And I said, it doesn't matter, because whatever we plan to talk about, we won't talk about. Whatever we do talk about, we won't know we were talking about it until after we talked about it. Like,
oh, I know.
Single-serve cigarettes.
You know why I like the dynamic on this podcast is because I get to play a role that is very easy for me to play. And that is...
yourself?
The guy, yeah. I get to come in here and be the guy that doesn't pay attention. I bet you Bag Milk had a very busy day yesterday. And I'll bet you he knows a lot about what happened. And you know what's blissful for me? Is I don't. I kind of stuck away. I know what we did. I don't know what it means. I didn't sit there and live and die with every minute that went by. But the best part about it is I get to come on here and I get to ask. I get to say, so I know what we did yesterday. Let's do the overall broad question that you can answer and then break down the finer points.
Yes.
Bagmark, we better off today than we were yesterday, in your opinion.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. The Oilers are better
today. Are you look like Shia LaBeouf in that one clip where he goes, I don't know. I mean, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
You are Shia LaBeouf.
Here's the thing. The forward group undoubtedly better. Zach Hyman, yes. Really excited about it. I just tweeted a clip of when he went 1-on-4 against the Kings in overtime. I don't know, a couple of years ago, I guess. And it's just incredible to watch his determination on the puck. Super excited about it. Derek Ryan, heard from our friend Ryan Pike at Flames Nation because he was a Flame last year. He said, that's a great pickup for the Oilers. That is the kind of depth player they need. I like that. I like Warren Fogle. First of all, he gives us the opportunity to use countless super bad GIFs going forward. And that is just there. That's
the jokes right themselves.
You can't put a price on that. Everybody loves McLovin. Everybody. And we get to use those for the foreseeable future.
Oh, now, McLovin's name was Fogle. That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason alone, I like him.
See? Now, the cost of trading Bear for Fogle. That one hurts. That one hurts because Bear is obviously a fan favorite, great in the community, great in the Indigenous community. He was inspiring. Mm-hmm. I loved the kid. So to see him get moved in a trade was a real bummer for me. I think the defense is probably close to being the same as last year. Maybe Liam, jump in on this if you disagree. But the big question for me is the goaltending. I just don't like the idea of bringing back Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen again for a third tour of duty. Smith is obviously going to be back for this year and next. I was just really hoping that, and there's still time. I was just really hoping that Mikko Koskinen would be not a part of the Oilers as day two of free agency ranked through.
But so you guys posted on ON or on Nation underscore ON on Instagram a quote that Ken Holland said. And I mean, when you hear him say things like this, it kind of puts things into perspective. His quote is, the only way I can get into the goalie market is if I trade a goalie. So I could not get into the goalie carousel if you wanted me to because of the contracts. So what he's basically saying is, did he handcuff himself into this position? Who made these contracts? What is he talking about there?
Shirelli signed Koskinen. That was his last move before.
Remember on the way out, Chalmers? Do you remember this?
That's basically what he did as he was walking out the door.
Yeah.
The ship was like sinking. About he threw an anchor at the boat.
Yeah, he's about to get fired. He's on his way out, and he's like, oh, by the by, before I get walked out by Rogers Place Security, I'm just going to sign a complete unknown 9-foot Finnish goalie to a 3-year deal for unprecedented money. And the OEG kills me.
So to answer the question, Chalmers, the Oilers are better, I think. The biggest problem that I had with the Oilers last year was the inability to get depth scoring. It can't just be Connor and Leon doing all the heavy lifting. It can't be. It just can't. And the Oilers are going to have more guys that can score up front. And I think that's good. I think that's really good. Losing Larson, I don't think was part of the plan. So I can't hang that on Uncle Ken. Obviously, he had his reasons to go. CeCe, I don't know I don't know enough about Cody CeCe, to be honest, to look at those as comparables. I know he had a good
people love Cody CeCe. I don't know if he's a Larson trade-off, but people love Cody CeCe, man.
Who are these people that you're seeing? Because I see
people on Twitter. Well, some people hate him, but there are Cody CeCe has fans, and I was talking to some of them as Oilers Nation, and there's like people who are big Senators fans that said Cody CeCe was an important part of the team.
Yeah, so Cody CeCe, when he was in Ottawa, based on what I was reading this morning, he was in over his head, which isn't uncommon when you're on a shit team and you're a young guy. And then he moved to Toronto and he had a disastrous year in Toronto.
Yeah.
Then he went to Pittsburgh and everything kind of settled in a little bit. So the guy's 27 too, so it's not like he's an old man over the hill. But
no,
it's going to be interesting to see how things play out, because there's a for Oilers fans that wanted change on the roster, they sure as fuck got it. This team does not look the same as the one that got swept by the Winnipeg Jets. So it's going to be interesting to see how everything comes together and what else is yet to come, because Daily Faceoff's own Frank Saravalli is still talking about a guy like Koskinen as a potential goalie trade option. So does he move? Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
So I guess another question I would have is, from a lot of the fanfare and the, you know, minimal stuff that I saw on social media and just in the news, would you say that the Derek Ryan signing seems to be the favorite, the one that everybody kind of looks at and goes, that was the brightest of spots yesterday?
No, ask me what I think.
Well, that one, the Derek Ryan one, is just, that is a really solid.
And because of the money, signing. Because of how much it costs, right? Like, it was a good signing for the price, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the complaints were that he got a second year, but like, who cares? You know, at the end of the day, who gives a shit about a guy who makes just over $1 million getting a second year? Based on everything, we had Ryan Pike from Flames Nation write us a little report on Derek Ryan. He said, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have it right in front of me, but he says, when Derek Ryan is on the ice, you know you are going to go get 9 to 10 minutes of completely stress-free hockey, and that's going to help the Oilers. But the big signing of the day was Zach Hyman.
Yes.
They're going to complain about the contract, the term, the money, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? I've been watching Zach Hyman highlights this morning for an article I'm working on for OilersNation.com for Saturday. Man, this dude has got everything in his toolbox to turn himself into one of just a fan favorite here. He's a hardworking guy. He's a blue collar guy. The quotes that were coming out yesterday, he's doing everything on his end to endear himself to Oilers fans. And based on
Gretzky poster.
Oh, and the notorious. Fuck. Okay, I'll tell you a little secret, Chalmers. It's a secret though. Don't tell anybody.
Okay.
When the Leafs were beating the piss out of our beloved Oilers in the playoffs.
Yes.
And I was cringing and crying tears of blood. I happened to notice Zach Hyman was a beast against us. How many goals?
Oh, yeah.
Seven goals against us, right?
No, and during the regular season, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, not playoffs. Regular season. Yeah. The 10 games we played, he had 7 goals against us, right?
And just like Chalmers, like if you get a chance, go to my I'll send it in the group text right now. But like, if you see on my Twitter right now, I posted a video of Zach Hyman, that 4-on-0, the 4-on-1 play against the Kings in overtime. The guy's relentless on the puck. He is going to be the kind of player that if he does that kind of shit,
fishes
it out for Concon all, like if that's his job, he's going to do very well.
If I was going to grudgingly admit to liking non-Oilers, which is very hard for me emotionally, and I already told everybody I love Matthew Tkachuk and I don't care who knows, Zach Hyman's one of those guys, man. I was never like, I liked Milan Lucic when he was in Boston because I got it. But like a guy who will go into the corners and muck it up and a guy who will rifle shots, Zach Hyman is that similar type of player. Like I'm really excited he's coming here.
I think a lot of people are. I think
he doesn't even score on that clip, and it's amazing.
Just watching it,
the stick to it, it's like just the absolute grit that this dude plays with. I think I said the same thing last podcast about Zach Hyman. Was there's guys on the other team who you don't really know until they play you,
yeah.
And you notice them and they become a standout to you. And they're almost
the 10
like,
games against the Leafs, right? We normally would have like seen that over 5 years, right?
I said I remembered Armia from Winnipeg like 2 or 3 years ago when he was getting like 2 goals a game on us and they were the difference. And he was dominating in every aspect, like out muscling people. And Hyman was that player. And so, yeah, I'm excited about that one. You also, you guys put out the lines as they would be, let's say they were suiting up tomorrow. And the one glaring thing I noticed was an X in our third line center position.
So that one has kind of been filled a little bit with, it's either Derek Ryan might be fighting above his weight class a little bit, like a touch, or he's just there to keep it warm for Ryan McLeod. So I think
okay.
they would probably.
So this was before the Derek Ryan signing. Okay. Okay.
And also tell you what I'm fishing for Ryan Getzlaff too. Like if Ryan Getzlaff would have signed here, he ended up going back to Anaheim for 4.5, which would have been way too much. But like that, that would have been a big ad. Didn't happen. So Derek Ryan, I think is going to be a decent stopgap.
What did Getzlaff end up signing for? Like 1.25 or something?
No, 4.5.
Oh shit. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. Anaheim bucked up to keep their boy.
I'm getting my Ryans mixed up.
Do you guys think Kyle Turris has any life left on this team? Or do you think he's just going to end up in Bakersfield next season? Because the reports are that he's been training a ton in Edmonton all summer. He's looking way better than he did. Like, maybe he pushes McLeod and Ryan for that third spot again. If he comes back. That would be great to have all three of those guys competing for that.
I think he was
optimistic, but maybe still an option.
I agree with you completely, Liam. I think the Oilers for a long time haven't had any competition for jobs for the most part. Guys are just kind of gifted a spot, and that's been that way for a long time. And having, you know, three players fighting over the same job, great. Good news.
Mm-hmm. I guess the other question I'd have was all the controversy, Liam. Do you think that Connor McDavid makes the team?
Well, I think that good one's question. Still up for debate, right? Like, is
Connor- it could go either way, right?
Yeah, he's got to have a good training camp. That's all I know.
Exactly.
A lot of pressure for a number one pick to have fallen this far down the ladder.
Mm-hmm. And especially after he drew zero penalties in the playoffs last year, you have to imagine that's being evaluated.
Well, that's the interesting thing about getting Warren Fogle, because that was the guy we were all making fun of a couple of years ago, that he drew the most penalties in the NHL because the dude is big and got wheels. So give us more power plays, Warren Fogle. And again,
I can't fathom why people on Twitter are spazzing about Tyson Barrie's deal. Like, if the highest scoring defenseman in the NHL is on your team, and he wants to play 3 more years here, and you're like, no, thanks. I think you're a dumb, dumb idiot. How does that sound, you dumb, dumb idiot?
Well, and also the thing about Tyson Barrie, I'm confused about as much about a bunch of the hate he got. I get it that he's a little bit of a yard sale on his own end sometimes. And
he's the highest scoring defenseman in the league. He can be paired with a defenseman.
That's what I was going to say. Like, you don't strap a fifth wheel to your Ferrari and expect it to pull the fucking thing around, you know? So Tyson Barrie is what he is. He's an elite offensive producing defenseman. He only got a $700,000 raise over the discounted deal he took last year. It's 3 years too. I don't think, listen, if you think about it logically, 3 years is going to be just enough time probably for Evan Bouchard to step his game forward and just fill in that role eventually anyway. So I guess
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm surprised. I'm just a little bit surprised. It's not like Tyson Barrie doubled his salary from last year. You know what I mean? It's not like he went from 375 to $8 million because he led the league in scoring. Like, then I would get it. I was a little bit surprised by that one.
Tyson Barrie is what Justin Schultz needed to be, but he actually is that guy. He's the highest scoring defenseman in the league, and he's not expensive, and he's not old, and we've always needed a puck moving defenseman. And I can remember when the Horde was like, when are we going to get that puck moving defenseman? He is here, you dumb, dumb idiots.
Even to take it further, for years, it was Tyson Barrie specifically that Oilers wanted when he was in Colorado. There was rumors, I remember once upon a time, thanks to the old tagging system we now use on the website, some of the old articles were coming up and it's like, should the Oilers trade Ryan Nugent-Hopkins for Tyson Barrie?
Huh? Like,
no, you can just have them both now. You have them both. They're both.
That's
locked.
What she said.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think I was going to say, a question I have is how, aside from the Duncan Keith trade that happened, which I think everyone was just openly disappointed. And I don't even think it's about the players that were traded. It's more the money that wasn't kept. I think everyone can agree on that.
Yeah.
Have the Oilers really had that bad of an offseason besides the goalie situation? I think it's been pretty good. Like, at the end of the day, I think after Lawson moved, it was pretty obvious the Oilers were going to have to probably do something different. That's kind of screwed everything. So they bring in CeCe and then you bring in Barry. So then you either have to sit Bouchard or Bear, one of those guys every night, more than likely. So is it not better to move Bear to have a third line winger who can actually contribute to the team than have Bear sit in the stands every night?
Or I think the answer is making a lot of sense, Liam. Liam, is that Oilers fans, there's one thing we do. It's love. We love comparing players and situations to other players and situations. So we got hurt badly by the Jeff Petrie walking away for nothing thing. Now he's a very,
that we brought on ourselves by calling him a bum.
Well, that was Mac T brought it on himself by calling him a bum. But
I led the Jeff Petrie is a bum and needs to leave chant in my mind, in my own little world. I was very pro get the fuck out of here, Jeff Petrie. And I regret it every night. I lie about in bed and I think about how mean I was to him. And he's gone on to be a very good defenseman, man.
Very, very good. So I think that's the thing that this Ethan Bear trade does, is he's still so young and coming up. Where does he end up? Where's his ceiling? You know, and I think they're comparing two situations directly. But it's, again, it's like everybody's excited about Warren Fogle. People seem to forget that the Oilers picked up a damn good player there.
Yeah.
It's just the cost of acquisition is what hurts.
And how old is he, 25?
Warren Fogle?
Yeah, he's 25, right? I think
25, yep.
David might have even played in Erie together. Like, I know they trained together.
Yeah.
Well, that was an interesting thing that I was reading, is that Warren Fogle is trading with McDiesel right now. And Devin Shore was there. And there was a couple of, there was another order there.
Nurse,
too.
Donnell Nurse was there
Nurse.
Too. Yeah.
And as the trade went down, they were all like, yeah, you're part of it or whatever they were saying, you know? And that's an interesting angle. A guy that's already familiar with the group training with them in the offseason just comes to join the party.
I judge all my players based on how cool their names are. And that's why I'm still confident Rico Fatta will make it in the NHL.
He could.
But Warren Fogle sucks.
As a name.
And he sounds like an accountant who lives at the end of your street. And he has a Volvo that he washes every Sunday morning. And you're like, hi, Warren, how are you? And he's like, pretty good. I have my Volvo. And you're like, I know your Volvo. Great. That's who Warren Fogle is to me. He's not a line busting NHLman. That's for sure.
No. I'll tell you one thing. The super bad GIFs. It's the gift. Warren Fogle, you can be even on the trade, you know?
Okay,
If you're looking for something to tip the scale, the old McLovin GIFs should do it for you. Because I was having a good time with them yesterday. We've only just gotten started.
We got to find a way to make sure that we make a lot of patented nation nonsense about Hyman, but we leave the obvious alone.
What is the obvious?
Well, let's say you had a new friend and his name was Charles Cockknuckle. Mm-hmm. You probably would just call him Charles. You wouldn't call him Mr. Cockknuckle in front of other people because of all the laughter. I kind of feel like Hyman's of the same type. I respect him so much. I don't want to make any of the low-hanging jokes because I'm sure this motherfucker's been hearing them his entire life. And I'm sure he's like, I get it. Hyman. Right? Like, he's been hearing it forever. I don't want to go that route.
You know who I'm worried about is Gene Principe. He's a professional, but sometimes...
As if you could see a kind man like Gene Principe interviewing Hyman to be like, Hyman, eh? Like the Hyman?
Chalmers, how do we stay away from the low-hanging fruit in this scenario?
I have no idea. A nickname for Fogle?
Well, no, for Zach Hyman.
For Zach, oh my God! Don't ask me that.
Exactly. Wow, you got to do a non-Hyman nickname, yep. Like H-Town.
H-Town is awful.
Yeah, where you at, H-Town? Ding dong, victory.
Call him
That's
Mulva.
What I'm talking about Mulva.
Mulva.
Yeah, you give it's him a Seinfeld worse nickname.
Seinfeld Charles reference.
Old
Charles Cockknuckle.
Yeah.
Harry Paratestes. I don't know what you call him.
You got to give him a good nickname. Zach Hyman's going to be a fan favorite. Chalmers, mark it down in your book that you got on your desk there. Hyman equals fan favorite? Question mark? Check mark. Because it's true.
Nickname?
He's already. He's already. I think. Like I like him. I don't know.
No, that's not fan favorite talk. That's like, oh, what do you want at Subway? I don't know. A sandwich, I guess. Zach Hyman is not a Subway sandwich. He's a fucking delicious steak.
According to the old Google machine, Zach Hyman's nickname is Hymns.
Nope. Or Hymns. I ain't going to do it.
H-Y-M-S. So Hymns, I guess. But that's a very hockey boy nickname. Very boy.
No, and we're not calling a slap shot a Hyman Buster, Chalmers. We are not. We are not calling it that.
Nobody was going to call it that.
Nobody was
going to. What's his number? What number is he going to run?
Well, that's the interesting thing, too, because yesterday that also made me laugh. This is one of my favorite stories of from free agency, actually, was we're just getting going. The contract just went through for Zach Hyman, and my phone rings, and it's Josh T. Park, Nation video producer extraordinaire.
You know it.
He's like, Bag Milk, I don't know what to do. I'm like, what's going on, buddy? He's like, I just made a Photoshop of Zach Hyman saying, welcome to the Oilers, blah, blah, blah. But I put him in number 11 because that's what he wore for the Leafs. But fucking Mark Messier wore number 11 here. Now everybody's mad at me. And I was just like, this is 2021 internet in a nutshell. People getting very mad at you for making a Photoshop for the guy's number he wore in Toronto.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to find out
what number.
Devil's Advocate. If you're making fucking Photoshops for the Oilers, and a guy wore 99 on another team, you probably don't want to do that with the Oilers.
What number would you put on him then?
Don't do that.
What number would you put on him then? Supreme Court of franchise history.
Who did that? Josh Park? The lovable Josh Park made that Park, mistake? Yes.
Josh T. Park.
Yes.
I mean, that's fireable. I'm not going to
oh, my God. Wow. What do you want to just blur out the numbers altogether and put 69 on the back? What do you want? Yeah.
I want to see this Photoshop now.
Yeah,
lazy Josh T. Park.
What did he run in junior?
That's a good question. Number. I don't know. I know he was number 11, obviously, with the Leafs, but I'll check.
He was drafted by Florida, right?
Yep.
See how I know that, Chalmers? Because I secretly have loved Zach Hyman since we played them this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
What are you playing Florida?
I'm excited, man. I'm excited.
I'm very excited. I think this is a fan favorite. You know how I love the Oilers, Bag Milk.
I do.
I love the Oilers.
You made a whole career out of loving the Oilers in a way.
I try 10%, 5% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But when a new Oiler shows up and I'm like, wait a minute, did he write a children's book? And they're like, yes.
Three, in fact. Huh.
Does he have a big thing of Wayne Gretzky on the wall, despite the fact he hasn't been an Oiler for more than an hour? Yes, he does. In fact, it's a fucking, what is it, Jackson Pollock? No, Andy Warhol.
Andy Warhol, yeah.
What's next to that in his wall, says I to this imaginary Oiler. Oh, a giant Notorious B.I.G. painting? Like, there aren't that many more boxes left to tick on my chart.
I can't find out what number he used to wear in junior. So if you know, let us know. I'm curious. I'd like to know.
Maybe because we can make his non-sex nickname around his number, like the big 4-2.
Despite what Josh T. Park did in Photoshop, he will not be wearing number 11 here in Edmonton. So I am curious because I think this guy's going to sell a lot of jerseys too, man. So I bet it won't be long for the Oilers to announce his number.
If you're mad about Josh T. Park's Photoshop, you're a boohoo baby. And you need to go with all the people who are mad about Barry re-signing. And you need to all get on an elevator and go away.
I'm not mad. I just pride myself on when I'm doing my job that I have an attention to detail. And putting Zach Hyman as number 11 in a Photoshop right now.
We don't know what other number he could be, though.
Pretty much any other number but 11, 99, 31.
So when you watch Avatar, did you think those were real beings when you watched Avatar? Were you like, oh my God, how did they get these creatures on camera?
Are there jersey numbers hanging in the rafters of Rogers Place?
No, but I look at Avatar and I'm like, this is fiction. And I look at him wearing 11 as an Oiler and I'm like, this is also fiction.
I would have not even been okay with if they put down the 8 Garth Brooks appearances on his back. I would have said, no.
9 Garth silly. Brooks appearances, get 9 the number right, Chalmers.
That
it would be my hope when the cup is won and they shoot the fireworks off, one the straight firework,
what would have been
that Garth Brooks banner.
What would have been funny is the number of games Rod Phillips called has the number on his back.
Yeah.
Just to piss everybody. Yeah.
Listen, is there a rule that prevents you from going triple digits, I wonder, on your number? Because I'd like to see that.
Yes, it's in the Constitution.
Hmm.
Of America?
Yeah. They're, and Canada, too. It's like, no player shall have us 3 digits.
It's true. I think that was 0.6.
If you come into the NHL and you're like, oh, hi, I'm here. I'd like to be number, what's a goof number? 48. I'll Kirk Mulpey. There's just some numbers you can't take players seriously. Chalmers, do you agree? There's numbers you can pick as a player that you're like, I'm here for a good time, not a long time.
Yeah, I don't take a lot of numbers very seriously because it's just we grew up with like the standards, and then it was kind of crazy when guys would go higher than like 30. Now you got like a 47 on your team and nobody bats an eye. It's weird.
Knowing how, if you were going to be given a number, Chalmers, but the one that you did not want the most, which one would it be?
The number that I don't want the most on an NHL team, if I was to get a number.
Chris Chalmers plays for the Edmonton Oilers.
Ooh, yes. Congratulations.
You are assigned this jersey number. Which one would bum you out?
61.
61, eh? So
61 is lame.
61 actually is one of the only numbers not worn by an Edmonton Oiler.
Wouldn't be me. Huh. Wouldn't start at me.
Well,
do you think there's a league rule preventing me as an Oiler from walking up to whoever's in charge and saying I'd like to be 69?
There's NFL players with 69. Lots
there is, right? Like, because they have so many players on their roster. 69s
have ever played for the Oilers. No.
I don't think any 69s have ever played in the NHL.
No, I doubt it. What if your name was, instead of Cody CC, your name was Cody Hee, and you asked to be number 69? Do you think your coach would cut you?
Like, ha-ha Clinton Dix?
What does that mean?
Yeah, that's a player for the Green Bay Packers.
And his name is ha-ha?
Ha-ha Clinton hyphen Dix. It's not his real name. I know it's it isn't, but it's still awesome that he goes.
It's not
it.
His real name. He changed his nickname. Name. That
we could do a whole show on just funny NFL names.
Oh man,
like Barcavius Mingo.
That's one of my favorite things about the NFL draft is just some of the interesting names that have come up.
Oh man.
So looks like Greg McKegg wore number 69. During the 2011-2012 preseason with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
That guy fucks for show. That recent, 2011?
Yep. Then he switched to number 39 as his normal jersey. But during preseason, he wore 69. Nice.
I'd go to the equipment manager and be like, I have to talk to you, man. Listen. In the old country where my people are from, what country? It doesn't matter right now. Listen to my story. We finally got freedom in 1969 after years and years of overlord rule. And I told my grandma on her deathbed that to celebrate our independence, if I ever made it in pro hockey, I would take the year of independence of our great nation and wear it on my back. And that's why I need to be number 69. They'd be like, all right. And then I'd get the jersey. I'm like, ah, nice.
Nicholas Backstrom wore number 69, the Dynamo Moscow in the KHL during the 2012-2013 lockout.
What? Like, does 69 mean anything in Russia?
So that's a good question. Alex Burmistrov wore 69 for Akbars Kazan in the KHL. And that was... I chose 6, which is sad. Here's what's not sad. Through 65 games, he had 6 goals and 9 assists, so he picked 69. Nice.
Nice.
Andrew Desjardins, San Jose Sharks. He wore number 69. That was in 2013.
Really?
Pierre Grandchamp. That was the Colorado Avalanche sled hockey team.
If you want to be a hero to Oilers fans and you want to do a Luke Gazdick and score on your first goal and be a hero in these streets, go 69.
In 2004, Mel Engelstad. He only played 2 NHL games for the Washington Capitals, but he did wear number 69.
Mel Engelstad? No. That doesn't work for me.
Yep. And that's the only 5 instances that I can find really quickly here.
In the history of the NHL, only 5 guys party.
Do you want me to give you some funny sports names of all time?
Yes.
Absolutely.
This person once played for the Edmonton Trappers, I do believe, but Stubby Clap was a good one.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good name.
There's an old 1930s baseball player whose name was Urban Shocker. You can't get away from my favorite college basketball player of all time, Your Highness Morgan. That's a great. That's Judy a great Babbitt. Name. Man, he's God Sham God.
What?
This guy's name is God Sham God.
Oh, man.
Dick Pole. Dick Trickle.
Dick Trickle. I knew that one.
Yeah.
That's gold.
Danger 4-piece. Godsham God played for Providence. Look him up.
Godsham God.
Danger Four Piece is a fucking sweet name, man.
Danger Four Piece. Such a good one.
As I'm getting hot ready, barbecue go out in Vegas. That's my outfit name is Danger Four Piece.
Danger Four Piece. Oh man. But just the NFL has, there's a guy, I'm pretty sure there's a guy in the NBA right now and his name is Precious. His first name is Precious.
Yeah.
Your life has been so hard with a name like Precious.
Yeah. Precious,
if I was a GM, if I was a GM and I was looking at a list of draftees and there was a kid named Precious, I'd pick him because his life has been so hard relative to everybody else that if he's managed to shake off being named Precious and still get drafted, pick him.
I'm pretty sure he has a brother too. And I'm pretty sure his brother's name is like something insanely similar. Yeah. I don't remember now. Precious Achiuwa.
That's cool. I like that.
I remember when Miroslav Shatan came to the Oilers, I was like, this is unbelievable. I can't even get over how shocking this is. There's a guy named Satan. And when he got here, he called home to his dad in the Czech Republic, when in those days that took a lot of work and doing, and said, my name means the devil over here. I need to change my last name. And his dad was like, you be proud of who you are. Told him he wasn't allowed. That's a real story, man.
Oh, my God. Okay, I got a name to you, the Achiuwa family. The Achiuwa family has five siblings. First sibling, God's gift, Achiuwa.
Oh, no. Oh,
no.
Second sibling, God's will, Achiuwa. Third sibling, Promise, Achiuwa. Fourth sibling, Peace, Achiuwa. And fifth sibling is Grace, Achiuwa.
I was really hoping that the fifth one was just going to be like fucking Ken Dawn or something. You know what I mean?
Tony.
I'm just going to go on the limb here and say those kids are for sure homeschooled, right?
What?
You're not rolling through private or public school with names like that and not fighting every minute. That's a public, that's a homeschool name.
If you saw the Achiuwa brothers, I don't think anybody's going to say anything about their names.
For real?
These guys are big. Massive. They're all, like, three of them are pro athletes. They're professional basketball players. They're huge.
Named God's Will in the league?
God's Will Achiuwa. Yeah.
Plays professional basketball.
Is that his nickname, though, or is that a real
name? No,
that's
his name is God, spelt G-O-D apostrophe S-G-I-F-T. That's God's gift.
That guy plays NBA basketball.
He does not play NBA basketball. He is still in university and plays for St. John's University.
What are the other ones?
God's Will is currently... God's Will. What does God's Will do? He's a biographical...
That was by Drake, wasn't it? God's Will.
Yeah, God's Will. Yeah, he even gets songs written by Drake.
Yeah.
You would need to have 21 pieces of ID to cash a check.
No kidding. No one would ever buy that that's your name.
They'd be like, what? No, no. And you'd be like, I'm here to stay at a hotel. My name's God's Will. They're like, oh, we thought that was a fake and canceled it.
I love it. I love that. By comparison, my name's really boring.
Yeah, should we say it?
Bag milk, yeah.
Yeah, it is boring. That's super boring.
It is.
I almost think that that's disrespectful to religion to name your kids like that.
God's Will?
I think God's like, really? Even God would be like, really?
Yeah, but their parents are probably very...
Yeah, but still. Even God's I like the sentiment, but you need to be able to get a credit card that doesn't ask questions every time you go to buy something.
I'll tell you one thing. When I have a baby, I might sell the rights to the name. See what I can get, you know? If it's Welch's grape juice milk, then that's fine. You know? As long as we're getting some cash.
Yeah, how much do you think you're going to get for that? You think that's going to pay a college tuition or something?
I don't know.
You plan on going back to school, bag milk?
Yep.
For the kids.
Yeah. For my unborn children named Welch's grape juice.
Oh, I thought maybe you were going to go take the money and go to school with it.
I might. Maybe now's the time that I can build up my Etsy store. So I'll need to learn some design and some sewing skills. So my child's naming rights will pay for it. I think you could get a college tuition worth of money out of Welch's to name your kid Welch's grape juice.
You definitely get a lot of pub on social media for selling your child's
name. Do you think God paid that family to get good PR?
Yeah, he pays them every day in faith.
Yep.
Oh.
You didn't see that coming, did you?
Yeah, every day above ground is God paying his dues on that one.
I like this show. Your Remcheck would never let us talk like this.
Remember, every day is rented, not owned.
Oh, that's a good one. <That's true. laughs> Why do you laugh like that? I don't know. Remember, so every stupid. Moment's precious. Just there kidding.
No one else is precious, Chalmers? Going to twigandberries.ca and using the Nation 15 promo code and getting 15% off some fresh Ginch. Right? Look good, feel good, Chalmers. You always say that.
Always.
So what you need to do is head on over to twigandberries.ca. Shop by category. What are you looking for? Tops, bottoms, underwear, socks, hats, masks, gifts? All of it.
They God's gift? Own.
Exactly. It's available at twigandberries.ca. And if you use, again, Nation 15, you'll get 15% off your order. Even, you know what? I recommend you grab yourself a pair of nut sacks. Liam, I'm wearing them right now. Feel great. Gonna blog great. Podcast great. All thanks to our friends at Twig and Berries, twigandberries.ca. Thank you.
Well said.
Equanimia St. Brown.
What a crazy name.
There's great names out there.
You know why I love Equanimia St. Brown? Because he might be getting passes thrown to him by my boy Aaron Rodgers. Hey, Wanya, you might be interested in this. Aaron Rodgers has had quite the offseason ever since
he carved his organ. He carved Green Bay.
So,
didn't he? Like
so,
like
yes.
Yesterday.
Hold on, yes. Hold on. I don't know anything. Hold on. Okay, so I know anything.
I'll tell you the story. Nothing. So Aaron Rodgers is a one-time Super Bowl champion and a one-time league MVP. He yes. has been with the Green Bay Packers for 2-time. Well, 2-time coming up. No,
he got handed the thing, but when Favre left, he took over.
Yes, he did. He did win that last year, and I'm getting to it. Okay. It's a buildup. Sorry. He's been with the Green Bay Packers for 16 years.
Since Favre, right, Chalmers?
Yes, since Brett Favre. And so they – on draft day, he slid in the draft. That really doesn't paint picture to this story. But in the last 12 years, they have not drafted a offensive player to help him. He's one of the best players in the NFL year after year, maybe one of the most talented at times, and they've never helped him. And the one time that they decide to go out and get an offensive player in the first round, it's his replacement. It's a guy what? Named Jordan Love, who they get in the first round as a quarterback. And that to him was just kind of pissed him off. He didn't like
that's
the
your
way,
replacement.
Yeah. He didn't like the way that they had been treating like the vets. And I kind of go back and forth with that. Like the NFL is a little more cutthroat, but ever since this last draft, you know, they didn't tell him, they never asked him about drafting the quarterback. And so they kind of, you know, it was a big story on that draft, but then this draft, he put out this thing about, you know, kind of not wanting to be with Green Bay any longer and how he's had a problem with the organization. And yesterday he did what a lot of guys don't do in a press conference. And that is for 30 minutes, he told the whole story. He was completely candid. Regardless of how it made him look or how it made the organization look, he basically told the truth and just said, this is what's been happening. This is why it's like this. He said it had nothing to do with them drafting my replacement. It had to do with X, Y, Z. And it was just refreshing. And to say that he carved the organization, yes and no, but they kind of did it to themselves. You know, they're getting that last year in his MVP season. So last year he wins the MVP of the league. And on the last play of the, you know, quarterfinal or like the conference final to get to the Super Bowl with one play to go, they're down by 3. Or down, they're down by 7. They're down by 7.
I thought it was.
And they kick a field goal. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why are you taking the ball out of the MVP's hands in the last play of the conference final? Like, it made no fucking sense. And it's just like the cherry on the top of the disrespect. Last year, he has one of the best wide receivers you could ever have, but he's never really had like a second or a third wide receiver. He's always made do with kind of, you know, run-of-the-mill guys.
And what do the Packers say? What are they like? Oh, just hang in there. Like,
they don't really say much because, as you might not know, well, it is the only sports team right now that is literally owned by a collection of fans. If you're shareholder, so, but they had a wide receiver that he clicked with in training camp, and this wide receiver put up big numbers, and then they cut him.
What?
They just fucking cut him. They didn't ask him. They just cut
the guy. Why?
Because I don't know. Because they have a philosophy of doing business that just doesn't align with him. But his real problem is like, I think I've earned over fucking 16 years with you that I've earned like the opportunity to at least be in the conversation, and they weren't
for sure that. Shit.
Yeah. So it was refreshing yesterday.
He quit the Packers, right? He left the team, right?
No, he showed up. There was a whole thing. Is he going to not show up? Is he going to hold out?
I thought they I offered him a ton of money and he said no.
Well, he has 1 year left on his contract, but they offered him look, we've treated you bad. Here, take this. And he's just like, it's not about the money, man. Like it's never been about the money, you know? He's made a lot of money. He's grateful to the Packers organization for all the money he's made. But it was just nice to see a guy who's thoughtful and like just tell the truth and just be up there, answer every question. He answered some hard questions. He thanked the people for the questions. He never got all defensive about it. And he was just, it was like I say, in this time of like, you know, guys not wanting to put themselves out there, because I mean, it can be negative on social media if a guy tells the truth all the time. Look at Kevin Durant, right? Like he has a tough time. But this one was just different. I watched the whole thing 30 minutes yesterday, and it was interesting.
What was one of the things?
I think it's amazing.
What's that? Right,
go ahead, Luke.
I was going to say, didn't he say, he's like, Green Bay isn't a holiday destination. People come here to play with me. Something like that. Right?
So at least, he says, this isn't a holiday destination. People come to this team to play with me. So at least have me in the meetings.
Yeah. Because
they weren't even doing that.
He was frustrated about the head coach being hired too. Because he said, LaFleur. He was like, I like Matt LaFleur. But nobody asked me if I wanted Matt LaFleur here. He's like, I deserve that respect. Yep. Or like even to be asked the question.
The best, nobody the best the player, question. Tom Brady. I mean, you're talking about the best player on your team, Connor McDavid. These guys get asked about fucking personnel.
Connor McDavid, Bagwell and I were talking about this earlier. He approves every single trade.
Or at least he approves. Or
no, guaranteed he approves every single trade. I guarantee it.
I don't know if I buy approves, but I definitely believe he's involved in the conversation.
Because it's just
his opinions.
Bad business,
sure.
Not to. It's so just you think bad business to not
sorry
include your best and most like the face of your organization. It's just you're alienating him. Like it's fucking stupid. It makes no sense.
So you think bag milk that a guy? What's the guy with the funny name? Like my neighbor with the Volvo that doesn't exist.
Warren Fogle.
That's the one. You think that Connor didn't sign off and be like approved? Or even suggest it?
I bet that Ken Holland picked his brain. Hey, I know you trained with this guy. What do you think? What kind of person is he? We're looking at trading for him, blah, blah, blah. I bet that happened for sure.
Do you think that people show up in Oilers silks that Connor McDavid didn't know about in advance?
I would find that hard. If you look at yesterday, what happened with Zach Hyman, guarantee Connor knew. I bet he knew. Fogle, he obviously knew because they were together at the time of the trade. I would be surprised if he didn't know about Cody Ceci. Yeah, I would be surprised if he doesn't know about what's coming, but I don't know if approved is the right word that I would use.
Okay.
The players can talk to other players, right? It's just coaches and GMs that can't talk. I bet they just...
Well, you're not supposed to.
Not supposed to,
Liam, I thought it was so fucking funny how yesterday the buzzer goes at 10 a.m. and then like $100 million of contracts are pouring in.
Well, it was... Ken Holland said yesterday in his media availability, he's like, yeah, we spoke to JP Barry and Cody Ceci yesterday about signing with the Oilers. And he's like, okay, well,
that's like, well, wait a minute. You're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, that's
I think the transparency behind that went away a long time ago when like that was happening also in other sports. Guys were sitting out front of people's houses at 12:01 with a contract being like, just to show how much they wanted them. These are in other sports, but oh yeah. And there's tons of stories about NFL coaches that were sitting literally at the gates of a free agent's house with a contract just to show them how much they wanted them and get them to sign them right then and there. And
yet they also mistreat Aaron Rodgers to that degree in the same sport.
Yeah. Well, it is interesting to see, like, hey, when just in sports, or it's a fucking cold business, isn't it? Like, if you look at like Vegas as an example, Marc-Andre Fleury just won the Vezina Award and he was traded for no return weeks later. Like, that's
how can that be? I don't even understand how that works.
It's a good question. It's always future considerations that gets thrown in, right?
Like we're paying $1 million a foot for a Finnish guy we've never heard of. And the Vezina winner is available for free. How?
Cap space. They are like, that's the, going back to the Duncan Keith thing Liam talked about earlier. It's like, we're all happy about Duncan Keith for the most part. It's just the inability to have Chicago retain salary is the problem. Because it's been a minute since Duncan Keith was Duncan Keith, I guess, is the problem. And then you look at what Chicago did immediately after and take an entire asset away from Seattle for no return whatsoever. It just makes it frustrating.
Fair enough, I suppose.
But I also think that, you know, yesterday was a tough day to do the job we do in the sense that it was a very negative place to wade through. Like the pool was full of pits yesterday.
I think it's because everyone's going insane because of COVID. That's why.
Oh, you said you didn't want to talk about COVID.
Well, I'm mentioning it as a signpost.
I just think with Holland doing his interviews and always talking about Chelios and how he won 5 Stanley Cups or whatever and all that garbage every time, like, people are just so frustrated with what he has to say in these press conferences. I mean, when it comes to sign someone, and then all these analytic things are getting thrown out and how this guy's just like trash now and all this. And it's like, well, can we just see what these guys are like when they actually hit the ice?
You know? There's none of that though, right? Liam, it's just, there's crazy. Like the spreadsheet boys, like, and I follow analytics too. I like to
look
at guys' numbers, but like you're 100% right. What happens when they actually start playing in October? Because I just posted on our Instagram, it's only 76 days till the home openers. We got a ways to wait, but that also means 2+ months of arguing about bullshit.
So
can I got a number for you. Number boy, 69.
When does training camps open?
Mid September.
Is it back to schedule as usual? Are we back
82 games?
But it starts later.
Yeah.
Right.
Starts a little later.
Yeah.
So October 13th is the Oilers' season opener this year.
Do you see that it will come to, because NHL players are so quiet that this would never be a thing, but that they would do what the NFL is doing, basically saying that our insurance is going to cover you if you're not vaccinated? Do you think you could see the NHL doing something like that? Wanya is shaking his head yes.
I'm surprised.
I think it's just good business to do that. It's like, you know, they put all these things in their contracts. Like, you can't go water skiing. Remember who was the fucking NHL player who like went skiing or something and hurt themselves and lied about it?
Joffrey Lupo.
Defenseman. It was Joffrey Lupo. Right. And so like, there's just simple things like, sure, I understand that you don't have to wear a seatbelt, but a seatbelt's going to keep you safe. And you have the choice as to whether or not you want to wear a seatbelt to keep you safe in the car. Because if you get in a car accident, you have the chance to die. Well, if I am employing you and my insurance covers you and I put in my contract that you have to wear a seatbelt when you're in a car, I don't think that's a fucking lot to ask, right? Like, I think that's something that's just normal. And so to say that we're not going to insure you and you're not going to be kind of welcome on a team, there's not going to be a place for you if you're not vaccinated. I understand these guys' like hesitancy if they have it because they just, you know, are different thinkers or whatever, but it's something that I think has to be done. And you got a guy like Ryan Tannehill. Do you know who he is? He's a quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. And he said that he wasn't going to get the vaccination for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But when he heard this, he got it. Right. And so it's working. But they're still like, it's hitting close to home with me. I love the Arizona Cardinals. We know that. And DeAndre Hopkins is one of the best wide receivers in the game and has played with our team for 1 year, which was the COVID year. And this year he's saying that I don't really want to get the vaccination for his own personal reasons. And he can see his NFL career being like cut short because of this rule.
Right? If you're willing to play with like ripped ligaments and all this crazy shit and play through conkeys and all
it's
this
fucking
stuff,
insane.
Get a fucking vaccine.
It's insane. I don't know. I wonder
if the NHL's vaccine numbers are good. Like, I wonder if they're kind of, because if the NFL, like we kind of saw it with the NBA too, when they shut down the league, there was a whole ripple effect with all the other leagues shut down too. I wonder if the NHL has kind of looked at it and been like, okay, our COVID vaccination numbers are like 90% of the players have got it. You know, I wonder if they don't need to go to that level to put in that kind of rule. But also, I think they should put in that rule so then we're not having weeks of like Minnesota or Buffalo and Vancouver when they just got wiped out last season too. Like the, maybe the
Disney or Dallas at the beginning of the season,
right? But the the obvious progression to this is that there that you it's like life insurance, right? For a smoker and a non-smoker, life insurance for a smoker is pretty fucking easy to get and it's pretty cheap, right? And you can get a nice little package there. But if you're a smoker, you're going to pay a lot more and they're going to ask you a bunch more questions, right? So if you're an NFL player, or an NHL player, and you get the vaccine, you're under our insurance plan. We're going to take you. But we're going to have this other insurance underwritten. Was it called underwritten? What is it called?
Yeah, underwritten.
Yeah. Yep. And that's going to be the non-vaccinated player's insurance policy. It's going to be way more. You can still be in the league. But there's a lot more risk to it. Like, doesn't that seem like the natural progression to this?
You can't wear a cup or a helmet.
It seems like for a multi-billion dollar organization, you would think that just it's inevitable that it would end up there. No.
Yeah. If you don't want to have a vaccine and you want to play in the NHL, you cannot wear a cup and you have to put a target on the groin of your pants. And be like, okay, man, maybe you won't get hit. Maybe you'll dodge two bullets every game, eh?
On a serious note, I do.
Oh, is that right?
I do see the hypocrisy between the NFL being so concerned about their players that they get the vaccination and for years saying that head hits don't cause concussions, which don't then cause CTE, which don't cause
long-term. Because head hits aren't long-term. Contagious. Right?
Right. No.
When this thing kicked off, teams are like, this is all bullshit. And then they saw athletes actually get ill and teams go down. Right. And that's why I think
they were late adopters to it. And then they paid out a big time sum of money to old players saying basically like, we didn't protect you enough. And I believe that like they're doing, I mean, I don't know, but I would imagine that it would be in their best interest to do above and beyond with their research and try to make the game as safe as possible. Right. So
it's going to be interesting to see how the courts, because a lot of them are closed and remote and shit right now around the world, react to the legal ramifications of the pandemic. Like if somebody insisted that you get a vaccine or insisted that you come to work and you get sick, I don't think you can sue your employer. I think they're going to give them like an indemnity where you can't get sued over it. Cause otherwise everybody could sue everybody over getting it. Right.
That's what we need. More litigation.
HGA Group, lawyers.
So I guess...
More Olympics.
Yeah, I was going to say, should we talk about the Olympics a little bit?
Can I first tell you guys about Manscaped before we talk to the Olympics? Because I was watching some swimming, and let me tell you, those boys are well Manscaped. And if
Speaking of litigation, take your balls to smooth court.
Mm-hmm. The Lawnmower 4.0 is out now from our friends at Manscaped. I personally have the Lawnmower 3.0. Works great. Can only imagine that the 4.0 is like the Cadillac of pube trimmers.
Do you need an extra testicle to be allowed to get the 4.0? Or can you apply for it with two?
You can apply for the extra testicle if you want.
Do you apply for a Manscaped tape or do you buy one?
You buy one. Buy one. It's very, very easy one.
They can't say no.
I mean, they could say no, I suppose. All you have to do is go to manscaped.ca.
Right.
And you too can get a Manscaped. And even better, if you use the promo code REALLIFE, you get 20% off your order and free shipping. You want free shipping, Chalmers. Of course you do.
Yeah. What I really, really appreciate about them is they say that you can't nick your skin with these, and I don't know. How did you manage to do that, saggy balls?
Yeah, you've got loose skin there if you're nicking me.
I don't use Manscaped. I'm using a Manscaped 12.0 that you guys haven't even heard of yet. And it's all lasers and drones.
You just bathe in Nair?
Yeah. I wear a cod piece of Nair to bed once every 6 months.
Well, Manscaped has got the tools for the job, and everybody knows the right tools for the job. Proper grooming requires precision engineered tools. Not only does a man's sensitive areas require it, but hygiene demands it. Manscaped.com. Again, promo code REALLIFE. All right.
That was a real nice read.
Thank you.
Hey, you know what the one thing that we don't have right now, which I would like, is
pubic hair?
No.
Yeah. That's more all freshly shaved.
Gone.
Like, we're not getting any of the listener questions or the reviews or any type of social interaction with the abundance of fans that we have. And I need to know. What are people saying, Bag Milk? What the fuck are people saying?
I looked for new reviews this morning, Chalmers, to answer that question, and there were none. There were no new reviews.
Oh, my God. We have hit the wall.
I am asking you on July 29th or whenever you listen to this podcast, leave us a review. Let us know how you're doing. Or leave us a voicemail. Don't know how to do it. I don't remember the link off the top of my head, but it will be in it will be in the article.
Reach out to us on socials. I don't know our tags, but whatever. Don't then.
I will have the link for the voicemail in the article at OilersNation.com where you can subscribe to the podcast. We'll get you there.
Ah, the extra click.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
These boys,
the extra click is good.
Tyler gave me have been through the ads, and that's about it.
They're showing on Olympic coverage right now Michael Scott's 100-yard dash. It's goddamn good. And do you remember when he goes on the marathon run and he eats all the fettuccine Alfredo to carb up?
Yeah, yeah.
And then he can't run because he's got so many cramps and his nipples are chafed.
That episode is also great, too, because it's a 5K run and they just did 5K away from the office, not in a circle of any kind.
Oh, my God, what a show. Okay, Olympics. Let's talk about what you guys, because I don't know about you guys, but every single time I walk into my house, I now turn on the TV and I go straight to one of the four channels that usually has Olympic coverage and I see what they're playing, but it's constant Olympics on my TV. And what that's doing is it's introducing me to some very weird sports and some very cool sports that if there was a league with faces and names, I might follow. If you guys have watched the 3-on-3 basketball, it looks like if me, Liam, and Bag Milk went to the YMCA and played against Wanya, Yaremchuk, and JR. Because it is awful. I don't know where these people qualified for this. I don't know what tournament they won. I feel like they were just like, hey, do you play basketball?
Not really.
Okay, you're on our 3-on-3 basketball team. Because, dude, it's just like turnover after turnover, and they have to just go outside the key to change the zone. It is like half ice 3-on-3 hockey with one goalie. It is mind blowing. Have you guys seen this?
I have not seen 3-on-3 basketball.
I saw some highlights. It looked to me from the highlights. I didn't see all the misses. I guess looked fine.
It was not.
I haven't seen it, but my sister came home and was like trying to describe this sport to me. She's like, yeah, there's three people on both sides and there's just a net. And I was like, basketball. So, probably basketball. It didn't look like basketball. So by your evaluation and her evaluation, it doesn't sound like
it's basketball. It's pickup basketball on a half court. If you went to a schoolyard and the other net had been torn down. Oh, it's half
stupid.
They get when if you're in your zone defending, if you're in the key. So think about the 3-point line. If you're inside of that and you're in the defensive zone and you steal the ball, you just have to go back to the 3-point line and then bring the ball back in. And now you're in your zone. Like it's legit half court. 3-on-3 basketball.
I'm all for new Olympic sports, and I understand you got to change with the times and shit.
Bring back the pigeons for the old shooting contest.
Oh, you got to. And everybody needs to run nude like in the original Olympics. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
But I don't think you should be able to make up a sport. Be like, it's basketball, but funkier. Like, why do we need this?
I also learned, Wanya, that in 1900, the archery contest also used real pigeons. How's that?
That's when you can set your watch by people. You know, they were real stand-up folk. Ottoman Empire forever. And then you let fly with a pigeon killer.
Hymen
Buster.
I watched some mountain biking the other day. Man, my legs were burning just watching.
That's a cool sport. I can get behind mountain biking being in the Olympics.
The rock walls they were climbing were basically straight up or down, depending on which direction of the hills they were going. It was a fucking intense sport to watch. Mountain biking looks way hard. I got tired just watching.
What is your favorite? Everybody here, one at a time, in order of age. Chalmers is the eldest. Liam being the youngest.
Yes.
What is your favorite Olympic sport in the Summer Olympics?
Oh, I like the track. There's like the sprints. They're just,
I'm looking forward to track too.
And even the swimming sprints. Any of those.
Like the 100 meter? Like just the power off the blocks?
Well, as the former 400 meter champion of Sherwood Heights Junior High School,
You were.
Big flex here from Liam.
Record holder. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Little humble brag. So I like watching that. That's a good one. Just I feel what the athletes are feeling, pretty much.
That was a brag, by the way. That's not a humble brag. A humble brag is like, oh, I don't know. I guess I was okay. You're like, state champ, bitch. And then you spiked your phone. That's not a humble.
Here's the thing about sports in the Olympics, which I've noticed, is if you get in at the very beginning, I don't really care what sport it is. The stories tell themselves. If you catch the diving competition from the very first diver, and there's only eight of them, and they go in a row, and you start to see like four dives each, you are into it. Like that's
This is why you're good, Chalmers. You understand the story behind shit. You can explain why any type of sport or player is interesting. You're good at understanding that.
Because I really like those. Because it's the same reason why when I ask my wife, do you like that song? Yeah. Well, do you know what it's about? No. I go, there's a whole nother level of liking that song.
Yes.
If you knew what it was about and you knew, like you could feel something from that. Right. And so like to just watch people swim. Yeah, it's fucking cool. But if you know the story behind people or like just watch them have to get to that point, right? Like there's a lot of qualifying, a lot of heats, and then you get the winners of all the heats come together and they battle it out for gold, right?
If you knew what Little John was saying when he went "Ah, skeet, 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 skeet" in the hit song,
that song bangs.
You'll enjoy it on a different level.
When you know the words and you know what he means by it's a whole nother level of banging. You know, if you really connect with it, a tear might roll down your eyes while you're throwing a fist in the air. You never know.
You connect the
Filipino Filipino deadlift lady who got the first gold in the history of the Philippines.
Yes.
And is like bawling and everybody's bawling and the prime minister calls and everybody's bawling. I love that about the Olympics. You don't see it in the NBA. You see guys win the NBA, whatever, even the NHL sometimes. And they're like, yay, and they're happy. You don't see like the all-out commitment. Well, it's not about commitment, I guess. I don't know why. Maybe because it's such a short career and you only have one Olympics. But like that lady being the first Filipino person to ever get a gold medal at the Summer Olympics, that's pretty epic.
Okay, so in the same – yes, that is fucking awesome. And think about this. So two nights ago, it was 11 o'clock at night. And the game that was starting was the U.S. basketball team full of pros, multi-millionaires, was playing against Iran, okay? These guys come to the center court, the starting fives from each team. And I put myself in the position of being one of those players from Iran. And you're like, this is the country we've been told to hate. Yet I play basketball, and these guys are my idols. And you're getting to fist bump them. And you are getting to realize that you are now about to play them for, I think they only play 48 minutes or something. I don't know. It's a little shorter game. But you're going to play a basketball game against these guys. And there was a couple guys. Like there's one guy on the Iranian team who's like 7'2" and was taking Kevin Durant to the hoop and straight up like,
cool.
And you're just like, this guy's from my... So it makes you also then think about the world and like, there's probably some players from Iran that could legit play in the NBA.
Yep.
But I don't think there's many scouts going to Iran to scout NBA players, right?
Nope.
I wonder if there's a lot of NBA scouts at the Olympics then, just thinking that down the line.
I mean, maybe. The dude that was like 6'4 and was their big... Or 7'4, sorry, and was their highest scorer and was like legitimately out muscling Kevin Durant at times.
God's plan.
He was playing on like two bad knees. You could tell by the braces he was wearing. And he's just like, this guy has battled his whole life playing this sport and loves it. And is now going up against.
Isn't playing for money.
is poor, is like probably doesn't have any money.
Yeah.
And he's like, if I was just born in another country, I could have been a multimillionaire and an idol to people. And to just,
I'm gonna dunk on Kevin Durant now because I'm Olympics watching this
basketball game and it's all I can think about. Liam, you're shaking, you're nodding your head. Yes, like you actually watched that game as well, did you?
I watched the first quarter and a little bit, and then the score was like 57-21 or something like that. So I turned it off. But yeah, like,
yeah, Damian Lillard got hot. but they were sticking with him. You saw a little guy from Iran straight up cross over like Bam Adebayo and shoot a three pointer, and you're just like, that's a dude from Iran, and he just took an NBA player, one of the best they have, crossed him over and shot a three over him.
Do you think there's a guy in Iran that could go one-on-one with Connor and snipe?
Oh, yeah.
That guy is probably crazy. Where do you get
the best hockey player in the world? The best hockey player in the world has probably never put on skates.
Now, how can that be the case?
Because he probably, if he would have had the type of upbringing that would have fostered that type of
upbringing. So there's an athlete that could have adapted his skill set to hockey and been better.
The best athlete in every sport. He could be playing like golf or something. The game. There's absolutely,
I think what's sadder is there's somebody out there that was probably better than Connor. Maybe not Connor, but there's somebody out there that could be the top five players in the league right now, and they either got clipped and took out a knee or quit for some reason, and they never got their
shot. Sure. So don't look much further than NBA champion Giannis Antetokounmpo, who literally was playing in Greece and not being noticed by anybody until, like, by fluke, some guy watched a YouTube video of him.
What?
And was like, yeah, some dude watched a YouTube video of this tall, lanky kid playing Greek high school basketball.
Div 2 he played, too. He didn't even play in the...
Yeah, Div 2 or some shit. Greek and this guy just was like, you know what? He said to his team, he said, give me a fucking plane ticket to Greece. I want to go see this kid. And they were like, what? Why? We're not doing that. And he's like, trust me. And so he went. And that's like, yeah, there's guys that are falling between the cracks all over the world. And it's, yeah, that's the type of stuff when I'm watching the Olympics that you're just like, these Iranians have no business playing basketball against the best players in the world. But when that one guy shoots a crossover three in the face of an NBA player, you go, holy shit, this is fucking awesome.
Don't get me wrong. Stuff. They lost 147-3, but the three-pointer that
was not close. It was not close.
That's really the unsung hero of the night.
But
that's like Kevin Durant had 91 points. Yeah. Kevin Durant had 91 points and left in a Maybach, and that poor guy from Iran went back to his room. But, you know, for a moment there, the world was equal.
Yeah.
I went back and watched the water polo after he got brought up on last episode, and a guy literally getting drowned.
Like, yeah, they drowned each other. They tried to drown each other. It's like,
it's just really trying
to kill each other straight up.
I don't like it at all.
No,
you guys like the kayaking where they got to go through like the hanging bars where they, it's like a wild rapids, but they got to like, and on the red ones, they got to go past it and then come back through it. And on the, like the green ones or black ones or whatever, they can just go straight through them. You start to like see the lines of these people. It's impressive because you only have to watch about four or five of them. And you start to understand like before, without even looking at the time, like, okay, who's really good at this and who's not? Fucking Olympics. Got Olympic fever, bag milk.
You do Olympic.
Running through me, boys. Running through me. Got to go get a Slurpee to calm this fever down.
Have you seen, by the way, Chalmers, the Slurpee talk around real life podcast listeners has really
started.
Up.
It started with our own meme extraordinaire, the bearded Brad. Oh, no. It was Surveyor Brett. He sent me a picture of his local Slurpee machines, and
it's an impressive collection.
Buddy, it's great. Like 16 flavors. It's just, yeah, that's the most I've ever seen. 16. Anybody seen more than that? You got to let me know. It's still, I got to call out for banana. We got to find a banana Slurpee somewhere in the city. If you find it, you tag me, you take a picture of it, I will be there within an hour.
I did see that.
Morning, noon, or night. It doesn't matter.
I did see that Surveyor Brett Circle K that he was talking about is way south side, it seems like.
Yeah, that's like next time I got to go to Leduc, I'll go hit it.
A banana Slurpee, hey, that reminds me of ear medicine from when I was a kid.
It's not ear medicine. It's anything medicine. It's antibiotics.
Amoxicillin?
It's penicillin. Yeah, amoxicillin.
That's what it reminds me
of. That shit don't cure anything. You basically you had a bump on your toe. Yeah. Amoxicillin. You had a cut on your forehead. They gave you a fucking banana juice. It was
maybe you put a whole bunch of Nair in a cod piece and left it on your testicles.
Actually, then there was the chalky pink one too, though.
Well, that was pretty good.
I believe
that was herpes medication, Chalmers, when you're in your teens.
Oh God. Yes.
Oh right. God.
Oh, right.
Herpes.
I rubbed it on my balls. No, I'm saying like, oh God, I just clued in on that. And I didn't have herpes.
I'm looking forward to back to the Olympics for a sec. I'm really looking forward. I'm with Liam. I'm looking forward to the track events. Like I said it last week, high jump is my shit. I love pole vault. In my head, I have a fantasy that I'd be good at pole vaulting, even though I've never carried one or even ran that far. But I think I can do it.
I've never run the length of a pole vault.
Yeah.
There's two clips. Yeah. The track is going to be amazing. I love that they put it at the end, and I really want to watch every fucking second of it. But there has been some things that have happened. Like a guy set the world record in the javelin throw and put it so far through the course, like through the area that it was supposed to be thrown in, that it came like 10 feet away from the camera set up at the end of the course. And the dude's like holding the camera, and this javelin comes like 10 feet away from him. And he's just like, oh my God. And it was right in line, like unbelievable.
My brother got hit with a javelin in high school.
Like, did it stick into him?
It hit him across the arm, like buzzed him like a, so he's got a sweet scar in his arm on the outside of his arm. So
check out the clip where the judge takes it right in the leg, right in the thigh. Upper thigh.
I swear to God. I'm pretty sure you were watching Ace Ventura 2.
No, this was not Braveheart. Oh, yeah, Ace
Ventura. And the guy goes down. They warned me. They warned me when I got into javelin refereeing this could happen.
That is the hardest referee umpiring in sports. The javelin judge.
How do those decisions get made? How are you walking down the street one day in a smart blazer and someone stops you? They're like, sir, would you like to referee international javelin?
Well, you're probably a psycho and javelin at some point.
And that's how you have to get into it. Maybe like a former javeliner that couldn't go the distance. They're like, do you want to be a ref? And they're like, fuck, whatever.
Your parents are like, you want to play hockey, baseball, golf, soccer? You're like,
javelin refereeing, father?
Could you find me the javelin league, please, dad?
I don't want to play. I want to officiate.
Okay. So when is the track and field? Does anybody know?
Starts Monday. I think they do swimming in the first week and then track and field in the second week, right? Is it only 2 weeks?
Yeah.
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 I think that's right. How they do it.
Okay. Yes.
Chalmers, here's an Olympic thought for you. Ready? I saw this on Twitter. You tell me what you think about this. So if you and a shark were in a triathlon together, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It all come down to the cycling.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
You saw that guy?
Yep. I did. That's
funny. Good joke. Buddy. I loved
the shark in the racing, in the running.
Yeah.
The shark
beat me in the swim.
Swimming. So I guess it would all come down to the biking.
All comes down to the cycling. I love that.
I mean, of course we're going to win the cycling. What a fucking stupid thing to say.
Fish doesn't even have no shoes to clip into the pedals. Idiot.
They can't breathe out of the water. Like, Jesus Christ, people.
Did you guys see the cycling event? It was not like that.
Sharks cycling?
No.
I would definitely watch that.
Just the long one. I don't even know what it's called. The big cycling one. And so there was
the Tour de France.
Yeah,
no. It was in the Olympics.
Tour de Olympics.
It was in Tour de the Olympics. That one. And yeah. So there was the big group coming through, and a Dutch girl won, and she's like celebrating and everything like that. Big sprint off at the end to get away from the group, and then she's celebrating with a coach, and then one of the officials comes over and was like, oh, you actually finished second. And there was an Austrian girl who I think my dad was saying she was a teacher or she had like some everyday job, was also an Olympian, won the event, and she was like, I think she maybe 2 or 3 minutes in front of everybody, like got way ahead of the pack. But in the Olympics they don't have headsets and radios with, so when you're out there you're kind of on your own and you have to read the
fuck off
yourself.
She cheated.
No, she just got that far ahead of everyone, and nobody knew that she was that far ahead.
Oh my
god! She
won
by like 2 or 3 minutes.
I thought we had a Rosie Ruiz type situation here. Wanye, look up Rosie Ruiz Boston Marathon.
I remember Rosie Ruiz. She was in that movie with Danny DeVito, the juror. What was it?
She started the Boston Marathon. She popped off into a subway station, got on the train, the train at the end.
Modern day or back in the day?
Got herself all wet and then ran across the finish line like she had won.
Was this a modern day trickery or back in the day?
Rosie Ruiz was a Cuban American fraudster who was declared the winner of the female category in 1980. When she discovered she did not run the entire race.
Ruiz finished the Boston Marathon in 2 hours and 30 minutes and 56 seconds, which would have been the third fastest time ever recorded. That's fucking sweet.
What I think we think about, like, how is there a basketball player in Greece that's NBA MVP worthy playing Division II? And how can someone cheat in the Boston Marathon and take a subway? It's because there isn't always people watching. And people take that for granted. They're like, well, someone pay attention, surely. Like, no, man. Sometimes they are.
How do you think I get into half the bars I got into back in the day? You get kicked out, and guess who's not? You wait till the perfect time when the bouncer's not watching, and you give a little slip.
The old slip act play. Like,
if you just act like you're not, you're like you're confident and you're nonchalant, you get away with pretty much anything. This is an hour and a half so far.
I've had this plan, Chalmers. I feel like you will appreciate that. My plan is, this is like an Ocean's 11 style heist that I've always wanted to do, where I figure if you walk into a hotel wearing coveralls and having a fake purchase order,
yeah,
you could walk out the front door with the ice machine.
Yep. Water bottle delivery.
Be a
fake Culligan water delivery guy. They'll let you in anywhere.
That's what I'm saying. If you do it with conviction, you can walk out of a hotel with the ice machine.
Yeah. I wonder if that's my key to getting a Slurpee machine. I work for the Slurpee company for 1 year.
For a year.
I claim that one of the machines is broken. I get the replacement and I just take the broken one home.
Yeah.
And by then I'll have learned how to mix the perfect Slurpee. I'll have learned where to get the syrup.
Would need to drink like 180 liters per flavor per month of your garage Slurpee machine to make the flavors not go funky while going bad.
But before COVID, you remember how many people I would have over on like a daily, weekly basis, right?
Of course. No, okay. I'm not saying it can't be done. By
neighborhood kids. I see somebody walking their dog and say, hey, banana Slurpee.
Sell it out the back. You can sell it to the
app. No, not selling. I'm giving it away.
Wow.
Maybe you could set up a lemonade stand, but a Slurpee stand instead and not give anybody change.
Here we go.
Last night,
you could just go work at 7-Eleven.
Last night I went for a Slurpee. I just grabbed one, a grape elite flavor. And I splashed a little bit of vodka in it, Chalmers. And the amount of people that just love a vodka Slurpee that I learned last night on Twitter, it's just,
yeah,
that is the adult. That's the only adult beverage I feel like you can cruise around the streets with as you're walking, of course.
Yes.
And nobody bats an eye. It's just the boozy Slurpee.
So you want next level?
Yes.
Next level hack for this?
Of course.
When you put the vodka into the grape Slurpee, what happened to the grape Slurpee?
Oh, see, here, this is a good point you're making, because I don't want it to get too runny. So what I did was I powered through some of the juice of the Slurpee to make it a little bit more crystally, and then that's one added way. The vodka.
Okay, that's
so
one
now
way.
I'd like to know your, now I'd like to know.
One way.
That's you, one buy way to live. Four, you buy four Slurpees for future use. You then put them into the freezer until they freeze to a rock hard block of ice. You then take that rock hard block of ice, you dump it into your blender. You put the booze in there and you blend it. At that point, it's rock. Then it turns into like the perfect Slurpee consistency with the booze in it.
Wow, that is living in the year 5000.
Yeah.
It takes a little foresight. You gotta have a freezer full of Slurpees. Because you never know when the hankering is going to hit for a vodka grape or maybe a vodka orange or maybe just a nice rye and Dr. Pepper.
That'd be really nice.
Yeah.
Though I know that R Circle K now, Chalmers, I'm calling it R Circle K, doesn't have cherry Coke in it. I would love a cherry Coke, a little bit of rum. You know, it'd be delightful.
Cherry Coke is the lost flavor. Like, it is one of the most popular ones. It is nowhere to be found. But now all you get is these like six Barks cream sodas. Who the fuck is drinking Barks cream soda? Not me.
I got a Barks cream soda about a week ago. And I'll tell you, it is an inferior cream soda.
To what? Crush?
Absolutely.
And this is going to become just like the Slurpee podcast. It's like every episode we talk about fucking Slurpees.
Sometimes you got to, you know.
It's my natural.
Well, I don't think Wanya's caught up on Big Brother, so we can't go there yet.
No, but you can talk without me. I don't mind.
I didn't watch it last night. And plus, we are an hour and 30 in, and I am positive.
An hour and 30 in.
People have tuned out of this 15-ish. Fucking thing.
Goo.
Yeah, it seems
how
like
dare you.
End on a high with the Slurpee reviews.
There we ended go. On a high. My parents are out of town. My parents are out of town. My wife and kids are out of town. So, yeah, we might just end this on a high. Who knows?
Respect.
My parents are out of town. Oh, man.
Oh, man. They're going to be so surprised they come home and find out how old I am.
Yeah. Just empty Slurpee cups everywhere with empty bottles of vodka. I am legit going to – I'm going golfing in about an hour and a half, and I am going to probably go and a Slurpee. It doesn't have to be in the freezer long.
Chalmers, you know what I was – so I got Jay's clubs. We know this.
Yep. Yes.
Last week, I went to the driving range four times. Lewis Estate's not far from my – no, Lewis Estate's not far from my place. You go get a large bucket of balls. Takes about an hour. It's nice. Get outside, hack away a little bit. Starting to figure things out. What I'll tell you, Chalmers, and I think you'll appreciate this, as the single guy on this podcast, Liam, I don't know where you're at.
Taken.
Driving range. Babes on the driving range, Chalmers.
It's the new grocery store.
It could be. It could be.
Yeah, buddy. Driving ranges are hot. Golf has, when we talked about this three podcasts ago, golf has had a huge comeuppance in the young people's world. It is big right now. And I haven't been to a public driving range in a while. I think I might want to go.
Well, if that's what you're telling me. Swing out to the West End. We'll go. Cause there's a lot of beautiful women out there hacking away, you know? And here I am duffing my driver all over the place and embarrassing myself.
And if a girl laughs at you, you say, girl, I'm only good at one thing and that's sex.
I'm not that good at that either. So,
no way I'm doing better at that than this.
Would you rather I'm a good golfer or a good sexer?
Because I am neither. Do you want a Slurpee?
I've got $6 in my pocket to get us a couple Slurpees, and I'm amazing at the sex.
So I've taken a job.
So your move.
Your move, ma'am.
Your move. All right.
All right. That can probably come to an end now, then, I suppose.
Probably.
On another high note. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next week. Have a good weekend.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Real Life Podcast. Don't want to miss any of our nonsense? Hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.